it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
West Side. Hour number two here on a Tuesday morning, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. NFL No Huddle just a couple of minutes away from right now. Got some Falcons-related numbers from the first 2 weeks that certainly make us happy. Obviously, yeah. The win on Sunday night is the most important thing, but some of the details also pretty encouraging. We'll get to a college football corner in about 15 minutes as well. Try to react to as much of the stuff that happened on Saturday as possible, because there's just so much, and you could only do so much on Monday. So we'll get into as much of the details as we can, and then start turning the page this Saturday, where there's some really fun matchups as well. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo at 12:40.
Real quick, got to give an always shout out to my main man Dan over at Chattanooga Whiskey. Brought us some whiskey this morning. Dropped it off with my man John Parler. So obviously, I had to share with my boys. So we'll cheers up. But yeah, appreciate you, Dan.
Many and thank yous.
And the people,
yes, up thank
and,
you.
And the
thank
folks
you,
over at Chattanooga Whiskey.
And thank you to you.
Oh, no problem.
Because they gave you the box.
Well, no, Dan, I'll take care of him. Like, he came to my house one time.
Well, I know, you're the guy.
Yeah, he came
to my
house.
You're the Chattanooga Whiskey guy.
He came to the house. I was like, he's like, give me your address. What the hell you want? I don't know you like that to come to my house. Came out there with two boxes full of liquor. I was like, yeah, you always with my friend.
That's great.
You always going to be my friend.
Nothing like a box of liquor in the morning.
Nothing.
You know? Because that's a six-pack of Chattanooga whiskey bottles.
Yes.
I mean, that's the kind of six-pack you really want to get on a Tuesday.
It's always funny when you walk out of here. and people are looking at me like, what? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I got a bunch of whiskey. So what?
So what's your problem?
I'm not pounding it right now in the middle of Colony Square.
It never fails, though. Yeah. Whenever I get on the elevator with a box, it's always somebody from another floor that gets on the elevator and looks at me.
It's got to be open container down there now, right?
I mean, so much stuff going on down here at Colony Square.
You walk around and just have a bottle of whiskey.
I mean, I always speak to all the security people.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
you're good.
I'm good. One of them, a big dog fan. Loves the dog. Always, every time he sees you, go dogs.
That's one of my favorite things about Savannah, by the way, just about the weekend there. It's open container. Just walk around with a beer or a drink the whole time.
So how much time y'all spend on River Street?
A little bit. I don't know what the streets are called.
I don't either. That's the only damn street I know in Savannah.
We were the first bar we went to when we first got there was there, and we caught the end of the first half of the Georgia game there, and then there was some very and we were going to leave anyway, but there was a couple real annoying Tennessee fans. Uh-huh. So it was like, all right, this is making the decision easier to go someplace else. So we walked to a different bar, and I don't know, you know, probably came back to River Street at some point. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Knowing how that game ends,
keep track?
Knowing how that game went, do you kind of a little part of you wish you had been there to see those fans?
No, because they weren't annoying like that. Like, they weren't the annoying fans that you want to see fail. They didn't know anything about it, but they were loud anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I was happy where we ended up.
Okay.
It's just, you know.
Most important.
Try not to cause a scene, you know?
Always.
Don't be that person. Don't be those people in this case. All right, let's get to an NFL No Huddle. NFL No Huddle every single day to kick off the noon hour. Let's start with what Raheem Morris had to say about the status of their new kicker.
You know, there is about a 90% chance that Romo's our kicker for next week. You know, like, there's no doubt about that. I wouldn't even sit here like it's an open competition, because the guy just went 5-for-5. You want to see it again. You want to see in a different atmosphere. You want to go see those things. And, like, he did a heck of a job. And I want him to go out there and do it again. And let's go see it. We'll make some decisions on those things as the week goes. It could be this week. It could be next. It could be whatever. But we'll make those decisions as we kind of got to go.
I mean, the reality of it is they don't have to make a choice for a couple more weeks, because you can elevate a guy from the practice squad three times before you have to designate him officially to the 53 or whatever it is, whatever the rules are for that. So they have a couple more weeks to play with that. I mean, I guess there's no guarantee anybody could get hurt at any time. So there's no guarantee. But
he's going to Charlotte to kick outside. It's a big difference between kicking in a control environment and kicking it outside.
That's true.
It really is.
Maybe he's an indoor guy.
I don't know. But we need him to be
all weather.
All weather.
Yeah.
Make him when they count and need it guy.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we need.
That's right.
Hell yeah. I mean, I can't even think it off the top of my right now. Like, when Mike Conte was talking about the kickers, where were those kicks at? Was there outside? Were they inside? I know the one in Dallas was indoors.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's always something.
Well, especially this time of year.
Yes.
It's still pretty warm and pretty dry
exactly.
at most of these
yes.
games. So even if you're outside, depending on the city, it might be easier, actually. If it's like 90 degrees, the air is going to go a little better. But yeah, you're right. The controlled environment versus outside. Obviously, it will be outside in Charlotte. He's going to be the kicker unless something crazy happens between now and Sunday. And if he does what he did again in terms of not missing, then he'll be the kicker for the remainder of the season. I think we all hope that that happens. You and I both saw the same number about the amount of 12 personnel that the Falcons ran on Sunday.
Yes.
That means they lined up with two tight ends on the field. 55 of the 63 offensive plays that they ran, they had that going on.
Yes.
That's the highest rate in the NFL dating back to like a number of years ago.
Yes.
And it worked. So there you go.
I don't know. I just, you know, I'm always one that I just speak what I think I know. I don't know what which I speak or something like that.
Well, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's something like that.
But you do know what you do know.
Exactly. And I keep saying the Falcons' best personnel grouping is 12. That's how I view it. But I mean, they had the best running game in a while.
Here's what I know.
Yes.
Here's what
because you had Charlie Warner doing what Charlie Warner does, but you had Kyle Pitts out there, and you got to account for him.
Does it count as 12 personnel no matter where he lines up just because he's a tight end?
Yes.
Because he was a fullback in some of those plays.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's all over
it
the
don't
place.
Matter.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because his position listing is tight end.
Which is great. Put him on the field.
Yes.
The man can block and he helps the run game. But here's what I know, and I think this is why they didn't do it and haven't done it a ton until now, and hopefully now we see more of it. We asked Zach Robinson last year, what are you most comfortable with?
Yep.
And he flat out said, well, I don't know. I try to be comfortable with all of them, but I'm probably most comfortable with 11.
Yep.
Like, okay. Obviously, we saw it throughout the year.
Yes.
And he's had an offseason to try to get more comfortable, maybe using two of them. And they did on Sunday to great success.
Yes. So
maybe it was just a matchup thing.
It could be.
And they'll go away from it against the Panthers.
Could be.
Or maybe they found something.
Maybe. Let's see. Let's hope so. Yes. I like Charlie Warner on the field.
Let's
I
hope
do
so.
Too.
I do yeah.
Too.
He makes the team better.
Yes.
Now, you know what he's doing. They're not throwing him the ball, but that's okay.
But that's when you leak out and get you one.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can start, you know, you don't throw it to him for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden you line up in a.
Do you remember, up in Seattle, remember the Tololo? And they had 13 personnel. He runs down the sideline.
Hell
they had 13 personnel and all seams go.
Yeah.
Stuff like that happens.
Or just the amount of like third tight ends in week one that made huge plays.
Yeah.
That catch the Bills tight end made on the goal line to win them that game in week one, that was a Georgia Tech guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then the guy with the 49ers tight end that nobody expected to catch the ball. Yeah. No, it's, you know, hopefully they use more of that and to great success like they did on Sunday. All right, let's hear the way that the first of the two Monday Night Football games ended last night for Tampa.
Mayfield sends it back in motion. Hands the ball off for Rashad White. Into the end zone. Is he in? Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Buccaneers take the lead at 20-19.
What a drive by Baker, man.
Yep.
What a drive. They just showed the highlight. I mean, they got him boxed in, and just a little shimmy shake, Andy, a little dip of the shoulder, runs right past him. He gets out, gets the first down, hits a couple of more big throws, one to Mike down there, and then what the biggest thing they did, they saved their timeouts. That's why they could run the ball in that situation.
Right, exactly.
They had timeouts. So, yeah, you're running, the clock's running down. Okay, let's run the ball because right now they're gassed. They're rushing to get lined up, so just ran the ball right there. Unbelievable, just play by Baker all week. The whole game, he was good.
Yeah, and now he's built up so much confidence now in those moments with his teammates and himself. Like, that's two wins like that to start the year. Whereas last year, Baker was talking about after the game, they lost a bunch of games like that.
Yes.
Falcons game included, that we remember. So, I mean, that's such a difference maker between making the playoffs and just barely missing it is how many one-score games you can win. They're 2-0 now in those one-score games.
Yep.
They're 2-0 on the season, obviously. Let's hear a little bit from the second game as well. This was certainly one of the stories from last night from Geno Smith.
Geno, they rush four. Pressure coming, takes a shot to the end zone. Popped up in the air, intercepted for the third time. A touchback.
I think Derwin tipped it.
Derwin definitely tipped it. And Dante Jackson comes down with it.
They can't run the ball. Talk about the Chargers. But that
kind of weird, isn't it?
That'll come around.
Yeah.
But the way I'm going to go back to beginning when this all with the whole Harbaugh and then his offensive coordinator, Greg Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Roman surprised me.
Yeah.
He surprised me because he don't call like that.
No, he runs it.
He runs it.
He runs it more than anybody.
But you got this guy, and I'll never forget you asked me this question before the season about Quentin Johnston. And I said, if he can catch it, they got an opportunity because he's the only one that can stretch the field.
Yeah.
And he's 3 touchdowns in 2 games, and they're both big plays. Got Keenan Allen still working that intermediate. And then you got Ladd, and you got this kid, Justin Herbert, playing with all that confidence. Jim Harbaugh team will figure out the run.
Yeah.
They'll figure out the run.
It's weird for an early season Jim Harbaugh team to be successful, and their pass game is so much – and a Greg Roman coordinated team.
Yes.
Their pass game is so much more effective than their run game is. But you're right. I mean, they've got – Amarion Hampton, they've got Najee Harris, they've got guys that can run the football.
They'll figure it out.
It's being able to put it on Herbert's arm and still win games helps when the defense is playing like that. Yeah. Comes up with 3 picks against
Geno Khalil Mack at, though.
Yeah. What happened
to him? Friendly fire.
Was it a broken arm?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen the diagnosis or anything. But, yeah, friendly fire. His teammate just hit that damn arm. And so I saw him come out with a sling. The one highlight for the Raiders, like, you better, like, Gentry going to hurt people.
I saw that, with pass protection.
No, he had a nice pass pro, but like his first run, and the damn safety came down screaming, and he just bounced off of him. The dude is 5'6", 200 pounds of just granite. You better wake up, because he's gonna put you. But yeah, Geno played like crap.
Yeah,
Brock Bowers definitely is hurt.
He was a game time decision.
Yeah, Brock Bowers definitely hurt. The way the Chiefs are playing,
Chargers look good in that division for sure. And the Broncos lost on Sunday too. Yeah. Raiders are 1-1. Hurt quarterbacks was a part of the story this weekend for sure. We mentioned Jaden Daniels earlier, MRI on his knee, questionable to play this weekend. Dan Quinn said he's like legit day to day, so we'll see. Mariota is their backup.
Yeah,
former team on Sunday against the Raiders. Former team 2 weeks from now with the Falcons. I guess when you play for a bunch of teams, you have a lot of former teams. But J.J. McCarthy is also going to miss the Vikings game.
Yeah, you saw that play. It was on the left sideline. I think it was Caden Ellis laying on the back of his legs. That could be a good thing. Not saying him getting hurt, but him getting some time off. Carson Wentz.
Get him a breather.
Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback as he's out right now.
He will be the first player in NFL history to start a game for 6 different teams in 6 consecutive years.
He was number 2 pick overall.
Was he?
Carson Wentz?
Was he?
Yeah, Carson Wentz, number 2 pick overall.
6 straight years, 6 different teams as a starter. That's crazy.
Wow. And this Tom Brady thing, which is weird, is the Saudi flag football tournament.
Oh.
All right, whatever. My players wouldn't play because I'm not getting nobody current players going over there to play flag football.
Oh, is that what people are worried about, players playing, or are they worried about Saudi money?
Probably both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the Saudi money part.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere. Okay? You have...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Starbucks this morning. You order Amazon yesterday.
Oh yeah, I don't.
You're guilty too.
Yeah, but
we're all guilty.
I'm just worried about like my star players going over there, like Saquon and all them on there. No. You're not going to play no flag football.
All right, we'll come back, talk a little college football corner, some more reaction to what happened on Saturday, and start looking ahead to this Saturday as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.